Welcome to The Learning Curve with Roger and Virginia. The Learning Curve is about helping kids get good grades in school and succeeding in life. It's for all parents, teachers and students, as all of life's a learning curve, and you succeed in life to the extent that you can learn easily. To get more information on the materials of our shows, you can go to howtolearneasily.com. Today's show is about the disaster going on in our current educational system, wherein somewhere between 20 and 40% of nearly 5 million children are being incorrectly diagnosed with ADHD. And the end result of that is incorrect medication, unnecessary medication, and mishandling of these kids. There's a vast number of children being actually damaged by this misdiagnosis. Tonight's guest speaks to that point. He's Dr. Frank Barnhill, MD, and he's the author of Mistaken for ADHD. Tonight's guest is Dr. Frank Barnhill, MD. He practices family medicine in upstate South Carolina for over 30 years. He provides care for patients from birth through to in excess of 100 years of age, with an emphasis on well care and health maintenance. Now, I like that particular emphasis. Frank's also the author of the book Mistaken for ADHD, and his website, which you really ought to go to. I've been to it. It's a treasure trove of information that parents need to have. His two websites, the first one is ADHDbehavior.com, and he has a blog also at mistakenforadhd.com. Welcome, Dr. Frank.
Good evening. How are you?
Very good.
Pleasure to be here. Hello, Virginia.
Hello there. I have a question for you to get things started.
Sure.
On your website, you refer to zebras and medical conditions. Now, I know what a zebra is when it comes to an animal, but what does it mean on your website?
Doctors refer to medical conditions that mimic or act just like something else as a zebra. It's sort of like in the wild, a zebra's stripes allow the zebra to blend in with the tall grass on the savanna, and that protects the grass, protects the zebra from lions. The lions look straight at the zebra, but they don't see the zebra because they blend in with the grass so well. Unfortunately, that's the same thing that happens with medical zebras. There are many medical conditions that can look like another medical condition and sort of fake you into believing that they're not. For example, with ADHD, attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, we know that hypothyroidism or an underactive thyroid can cause a child to have the very same symptoms as a child with ADHD, those being, of course, hyperactivity, impulsivity, poor attention span, inattentiveness. So we refer to hypothyroidism as a medical zebra that can mimic ADHD.
Thank you. That does make it very clear. Based on what you just said, can you tell us what exactly is ADHD? What are the symptoms?
All attention disorders, whether it's ADHD or not, relate to a person, usually a child's ability to focus on task. In other words, to focus on what they are doing, whether it's their homework, whether it's in the classroom, whether it's playing baseball, whether it's putting together a car model, playing with a train, or a little girl playing dress up with her dolls. Children who have ADHD, sort of like adults, just can't seem to focus on what they're doing. They don't complete their task in a timely manner. They're usually disorganized. Teachers often complain that children with attention deficit hyperactivity disorder forgetful. They forget to do their homework. They forget to bring it in. They forget their binders. They forget their pencils. Moms come in and say things like, you know, little Johnny forgets to feed the dog. He never remembers to take the cat out. He can't remember to clean his room up or empty the garbage can as I've asked. He forgets to take baths. You constantly have to remind him. Inattentiveness and not being able to focus is a core symptom of ADHD. Another symptom is impulsivity. All kids and adults, I like to use the teenager with ADHD as a prime example of this. Impulsivity in a teenager usually shows up as speeding tickets. Many a parent has brought a child into the office, team into my office, saying, we can't take it anymore. This is his third speeding ticket in 6 months. You've got to do something. He has a lead foot. He never lets up on the gas. You know, he's in trouble constantly. He talks out of turn in class, or she interrupts, or if you go to the mall, she won't let her mom finish a conversation with her friends. And, of course, that creates problems for the mom because, as one mom put it, my friends do not like my daughter to be with me at the mall because we can't get a word in edgewise. You have inattentiveness, poor focusing, impulsivity. The third core symptom, of course, is that one that's hardest to deal with, hyperactivity. These kids, teens, and sometimes even adults with ADHD, they're wound up. When they start, they don't stop. When they're on the go, they're on the go. It used to be said that children, particularly small children with ADHD, were wound up like a clock, an old spring wind-up clock. And when they finally ran out, they ran out of steam. But most of the time, they ran around, quote, like chickens with their head cut off. Those are the core symptoms of ADHD.
How does one go about diagnosing this then?
Well, as I like to point out in all the articles I write for the blog, the one that Roger mentioned, mistakenforadhd.com, and I reemphasize this over and over at least once every 2-3 months, the way you're supposed to make the diagnosis of ADHD is usually not the way it's done in the United States. We're in too big of a rush. We want to slap a diagnosis on every child whose behavior doesn't fit what we consider normal and immediately put that child on a drug to, quote, fix that child. And that's the wrong way to make the diagnosis. The correct way to diagnose ADHD is by ruling out all of those things, those zebras that we talked about, that can look just like, act just like, smell just like, and feel just like ADHD. And once you are sure that those things don't exist, that the child, the teen, the adult is not suffering from one of those medical zebras like the thyroid disease I mentioned earlier, then you make sure there are no psychological issues, no social issues, sure there are no school issues. I've cured children of ADHD by moving them from one school to another.
Oh, really? Can you tell me about that?
Oh, yes. I had a 15-year-old, a high schooler, who clearly had been diagnosed, well, not clearly, but the parents thought he definitely had ADHD. Had been evaluated by two other doctors, had been tried on numerous medications. They never really did a good workup, did not do a psychological profile on the child, didn't test him for anxiety, bipolar disorder, or depression, the three key things that can mimic ADHD on the psychological side. And when the mom brought him in, she told me, she said, he's failing. He doesn't get along with anyone at school. His teachers hate him. He has terrible behavior. He has been suspended. They're not going to let him back in school until you put him on something that will cure this behavior problem. So instead of popping him on a pill again, which he had already been on a couple, I decided to do the workup, make sure everything was okay. And of course it was, until I got to generalized anxiety disorder and depression. And I discovered that this 15-year-old was being bullied at school. Victim of bullying from his classmates. He did not want to go to school. When he got to school, he was angry. He wanted to go home. He was anxious. He had generalized anxiety disorder. When I spoke with the teacher was really, really upset with the young man, of course, and she had already formed an opinion that I realized I could not reverse no matter what I tried to do. So I advised the parents to allow me to write a letter to have the 15-year-old moved to another high school that was about 14 miles away. And based on what I explained, they agreed. You know what happened. It is classic success. I mean, I wish everyone had been as successful as this, or some weren't, but within 3 months, his grades were in the A-B range. He was making friends. His teachers were sending me notes telling me what a delightful young man he was, how well-dressed he was, mannered, behaved. That next year, he tried out for the varsity football team, and he played football on the varsity squad the remainder of his high school career, and he graduated with honors. Now, he did all of this on absolutely no medication. Once he saw me, I stopped all of his medicines except for something for his depression. I kept him on, I actually started the antidepressant. We kept him on the antidepressant for 3 months, and I removed the antidepressant, and he did fantastic.
That's a good success story. I was looking at some statistics today in preparation for interviewing you, Frank, and I'm seeing here the 2007 figures. They're claiming that approximately 9.5% or otherwise 5.4 million children between the ages of 4 and 17 years of age are being diagnosed with ADHD. But we also read on the internet from certain medical professions that this is being grossly overdiagnosed, and there's a lot of wrong diagnosis going on. In fact, in your website, I notice you have a lovely document called 19 Signs Your ADHD Labeled Child May Not Be ADHD. Now, that speaks right to the subject of your book, of the misdiagnosis. What's the instance of misdiagnosis as a percentage? Do you have any figure on that at all?
Roger, currently, those numbers from 2007, of course, are going to change. The CDC released data in the past couple of weeks, in fact, that shows that one out of every 10 children in America has been diagnosed with ADHD as of this point in this year.
Yeah, it's a real danger to the kids, this misdiagnosis stuff.
It is, and we believe that, depends on which experts you speak with, but some experts feel the number is as low as 25%, and some feel that it's as high as 40% when it comes to ADHD misdiagnosis, meaning that actually the number of children in America that have been diagnosed is a little bit closer to 10 million right now.
My God, and 52% I'm seeing here get put on drugs for this.
That's correct.
It's
and
crazy.
Those 25 to 40% have been misdiagnosed. So we have the potential for 4 million plus children walking around misdiagnosed as ADHD when there is really something else that's causing their behavior problem, something else causing their grades, something else causing their mom and dad to feel like they're about to pull their last hair out because of that bad behavior.
So, do you have any recommendations for parents who might feel that their child is really not ADHD, even though they've been diagnosed that way?
What I tell parents is there are several things that are very, very important when it comes to diagnosing ADHD. In fact, this is the reason I wrote the book, Mistaken for ADHD. So many parents were coming in and they would say things like, you know, I'm not sure anymore. He's been on so many medicines and his behavior is not getting better. And I'm just not sure. You've got to help. And I noticed increasing number of children showing up in my practice that had never really been evaluated for ADHD. Their evaluation was incomplete. But the key thing that I noticed was too many of these children were started on an ADHD medication the very first office visit, the very first time they saw their doctor, without having any blood test, without having any psychological test, without even being spoken to. I've seen children, 8, 7, 8, 9, 10-year-old kids, that were taken to a doctor. The doctor spoke exclusively to the mom, the dad, or both of them, or a teacher, looked over medical records, never asked the child one single question, and confirmed the diagnosis of ADHD. And what I tell parents is, foremost, in Mistaken for ADHD, I included two chapters. One is entitled, How Not to Make the Diagnosis ADHD, and the other, How to Make the Diagnosis of ADHD. And what I'd like to give your listeners is a thumbnail sketch of how to make the diagnosis, because how not to make the diagnosis is simple. One office visit won't do it. Not doing blood work won't do it. There are no brain scans. There is no single blood test, no anything that you can draw, scan, x-ray, measure that will make a diagnosis of ADHD. The diagnosis must be made in strict guidelines. Rule out all of those things that can look like ADHD to zebras. Then, the child's behavior, the behavior that the parent is worried about, that behavior they're going to pull that last gray hair out for, has to occur in two different settings. It's got to occur, say, at school and at home, or school and church, or school and the shopping center, or home and the shopping center, or home and on the athletic field. It's got to clearly occur in two different places. And very importantly, the behavior must cause the child a problem. In school, usually that problem is bad grades. Child can't learn. When they can't focus, they can't learn. Out on the playing field, maybe they can't socialize. No one wants them to play football because they're bad sports. At the mall, no one wants to hang around them. So they either have, you know, grade academic problems in school, or they have social problems outside of the home. In the home, they may get along terribly with their siblings. In fact, an ADHD sibling can suffer from their brother or sister's ADHD. That's terrible, isn't it?
Really?
It is. I have children in my practice who I saw because they were depressed and anxious, and we discovered the reason they were depressed and anxious was because their friends would not have anything to do with them because their brother or sister was ADHD and they didn't want to be around them because of their bad behavior.
Mm.
So their own friends ostracized them. They shunned them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I tell parents, if you have a doctor who's evaluating your child's ADHD and he wants to jump the gun and immediately start a medication without doing blood work, without asking what I call a zillion questions. A lady in the office last week, after 30 minutes of asking questions, she finally looked at me and she said, how many more questions do you have? I said, well, there are approximately 500 on my list, and I really need answers to all 500, or at least an idea about the answers. And she said, this is the first time we've ever been asked these questions. I mean, you know, to give you an example, I want to know if a child has been thrown off of a horse. I want to know if they've hit their head very hard because post cerebral contusion syndrome, post-concussion syndrome, can mimic and look just like ADHD. And something like 5% of all of the kids that have been labeled ADHD really have post-concussive syndrome from football, rugby, soccer, can cause little mini concussions, seizures, all of those things. So I ask literally hundreds of questions on the first office visit. And then, of course, I want the psychological testing, and I want all the blood tests. And I tell parents, if you go in and the doctor says, no, we don't need to ask all those questions, no, we don't need those blood tests, get up and run. You know, leave. Just leave. That's why I put as much information as I can on mistakenforadhd.com and adhdbehavior.com. There are lists. The book, you know, Mistaken for ADHD, has lists in it. It lists what this might be, what it may not be. How do you determine whether this is what it is or whether it's something else? And if this is what it is, say, for example, diabetes. If diabetes is causing your child to be hyper, it tells you what to do to make sure your doctor makes the correct diagnosis and then tells how it has to be treated.
Because I notice on your site things like not getting enough sleep. A child with sleep apnea can be misdiagnosed. In an earlier chat we had the case of the young girl who was hypothyroid problems, and blood work found that out and gave her a correct diagnosis. So these are all the zebras that can get in the way and literally trick people who don't do a thorough diagnosis.
And the doctor needs to spend time working on it. I tell parents, very first thing, please don't expect me to diagnose your child in 15 minutes. It's not going to happen, because for minimum half an hour, you're going to answer my questions, and then I'm going to talk to the child. And when I see a child that's been diagnosed as ADHD, and the mom says, well, you know, we didn't even take him to the office that day for the visit. The doctor just listened to me and said, obviously, he's ADHD. Here, take this Adderall home. Take this Ritalin home. Yeah. Give him a dose and see what happens. What that is a fallacy. That is a false belief that if you give a child an ADHD medication and their behavior improves while they're on the ADHD medication, that means that you have accurately diagnosed ADHD.
Sounds like faulty logic to me.
Right, and nothing could be further from the truth. Let's take that example you brought up, Roger, the really good one of the little girl with the low thyroid. She was falling asleep every morning in class. She was inattentive. She acted like she was daydreaming. If you asked her a question, she did this to me too, and I nicknamed it the duh syndrome. I said, well, how does your brain feel when you're in class? And she went, duh. And after that, every time I lecture the parents and doctors, I call that the duh syndrome. But if that young lady, well, in fact, she was, when she was started on an ADHD stimulant, methylphenidate, she got better for about 3 or 4 weeks. And the reason she got better is all of these stimulants for ADHD are amphetamines. They're like street drugs, and they improve a child's ability to focus by stimulating the part of the brain that keeps you awake. And since her hypothyroidism was causing a problem with her, you know, she was lethargic, she was sleepy, she was tired, couldn't concentrate, temporarily until her thyroid went into full failure, the amphetamine made her hyper alert. And of course, the first thing the doctor said when he saw the child 2 weeks later for the first time was, oh, obviously we hit the nail on the head. Your daughter is definitely ADHD. Look how much better she is compared to what you told me. Well, I have a problem with that, because he didn't see the child to start with. He diagnosed it in absentia. The child wasn't even in the office. He started a medication without a thorough evaluation, and that's a bone that I would pick with him. But he did improve the child's alertness for a couple of weeks, which falsely led them to believe that she was ADHD. 2 months later, when she crashed with almost no blood pressure, They took her off their ADHD medication. She did not improve, and that's how I ended up seeing her. And that's very dangerous. I've never read of an instance where a child died as a result of ADHD misdiagnosis, but they can become critically ill if you don't detect what's really wrong.
How can a parent go about finding a doctor who really, really knows how to diagnose this?
Well, there are several ways. Probably the fastest way is for a parent to speak with other parents, particularly parents of children who are ADHD, underwent a good evaluation by a doctor, are on medication, or they are in behavioral therapy, or my preference is a life coach. I like lifestyle coaches. I think if a child has a behavior disorder, the first thing you should do is try to change their lifestyle. Let's work on their diet, their vitamins, their exercise, their social interactions, their learning assessment. I mean, if you don't know how a child learns, whether or not they're a visual learner, an auditory learner, or kinesthetic, you know, they got to touch, feel, see, what, learn, then you can't really assess them. And we do that, of course, before we start medications. And if you know of a child who has ADHD, is doing very well, just ask the parents, say, which doctor saw your child? And see if you can get a referral to that doctor. Of course, if that's not a possibility, you can go to your pediatrician or family physician, explain to them that you want an ADHD expert. You want someone who is trained to diagnose ADHD. Unfortunately, those people are not very plentiful. We're few and far between because most of the doctors who diagnose ADHD in America are not trained in behavioral medicine. It takes additional time, and you got to go back to medical school, and you got to go to a lot of seminars and a lot of conferences. You ask your doctor, do you know an ADHD specialist? That's who I want my child to see. If he or she doesn't, then you can turn to your local health department, or the place that you will find most ADHD specialists is at a medical university. I mean, my medical university, the one from which I graduated, the Medical University of South Carolina in Charleston, South Carolina, has a very outstanding ADHD program. They do a very good job. The University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill has one. They're scattered, but if you look at a medical university, you will usually find ADHD specialists clustered there. And most medical universities have a toll-free number that a parent, a grandparent, a teacher, another doctor, you, me, anyone can call that 1-800 number and say, look, I have a child that has a behavior problem. Do you have an ADHD program? And, of course, if they do, they're going to tell you yes and tell you how to get a referral into the program. I think that this is one of the more important topics of the decade. We are seeing literally an epidemic of ADHD diagnosis.
Or misdiagnosis as well.
And the problem with it is that, like I said, we're in too big of a hurry. We want to label everything. You know, I really don't think children should be labeled. Labels create bias and discrimination.
And mistreatment.
Sure.
And at many levels, not only with the wrong therapy, mistreatment by their peers, mistreatment by the system, you know, really causing a tragedy.
And I think that we need to talk about this further on another show.
I'll be more than happy. And before we close, I'd like to offer your listeners the opportunity that I offer my patients and everyone else. If you visit my blog, mistakenforadhd.com, you can join our newsletter list, download very handy item on how to, you know, things you should take to your doctor to help make the diagnosis of ADHD. But more importantly, you can contact me through the blog. There's a link there to ask questions, and I do answer questions. Sometimes there are lots of them. On the weekend, there may be 200 in that box. but I try to answer each question as rapidly as possible, and I will do so for your listeners just like for mine. And all you've got to do is go to mistakenforadhd.com and just hit the link and ask the question.
Well, that's a wonderful offer. Thanks, Frank. By the way, listeners, Frank has a nickname. It's a little bit of a secret. What is it, Virginia?
Dr. Huggy Bear. We'll ask him where that comes from later.
In our next show, we'll reveal the secret, listeners.
If any of your listeners have problems finding my book, Mistaken for ADHD, at, say, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, at Amazon.com or whatever, if they will just drop me an email, I will be sure that they find a way to get a copy of the book.
You can get it, they can buy it off your website, can't they?
Yes, they can. If get the link on the website, it's there. And basically, what happens is they go to Amazon.com.
And it gets mailed to them.
You know, I think that I had one lady that came in, it's probably been 3 weeks ago. She said that they were moving to Texas. She wanted me to send records on her son who had been misdiagnosed. This poor, unfortunate young man had called petit mal seizures, little mini seizures, and that's what caused his misdiagnosis. And once we started treating his seizures, of course, his ADHD went away. She laid one of my books on the desk in front of me, and she said, "Sign this, but don't sign it to me." And I said, "Why?" She said, "This copy goes to his new doctor in Texas."
Yes.
Oh, nice touch.
Yeah. Very nice.
Frank,
that was really neat.
Yeah. You've given the listeners tremendously valuable information, for which we thank you.
Yes.
And we'll do it again. There's so much more to talk about
there
on this
is.
Subject. And there's a lot of questions here that I've got for you next time. So thanks, Frank.
Roger, thank you very much for the opportunity. I hope you have a very good evening.
You've been listening to Roger and Virginia at the Learning Curve. Next week, we'll be having Dr. Frank Barnhill back again. You'll learn the secret to why he's called Dr. Huggy Bear. But more importantly, we'll be discussing what is the distinction between attention deficit disorder, how come it morphed into becoming ADHD, and some other mysteries on this perplexing subject that is erroneously afflicting or being imposed upon too many of our children. So Dr. Frank Barnhill, the author of Mistaken for ADHD, returns next week. You can contact Roger and Virginia at howtolearneasily.com.